here likes to watch British comedies on television? Ted's hand goes up. I see several other hands going up. On PBS, Channel 13, whatever channel it happens to be. On Sunday nights, on Saturday nights, the British comedies are a joy for me to watch. I enjoy watching them. I've watched British comedies for years, back in the very beginning when all you could see on television were Monty Python's Flying Circus episodes. Who's seen that program? Yeah, several more. It's a different kind of humor, okay? British comedy takes growing into. It's not something that everybody immediately enjoys. My mother cannot stand British comedies. She can't understand. Every once in a while she'll give a chuckle, but for the most part she simply can't stand it. And she really can't stand Monty Python Flying Circus. One day, I happened to be over at Mom and Dad's house, and Mother had been flipping the channels, and she came across a scene of Jesus preaching in the Sermon on the Mount, pretty much the passages we have here from Luke's Gospel. And I was watching it, and I couldn't believe my mother stopped and watched it for a while, because it was a scene of Jesus, supposedly, preaching at the Sermon on the Mount, but it was from a Monty Python movie entitled The Life of Brian. I see some of you just laughing already. And in this movie, which is, by the way, I do not recommend this film. It is sacrilegious in the extreme. However, there is a very hilarious scene near the very beginning of the film in which Jesus is giving his sermon and they start to back away from him. And they keep backing away and they keep backing away and they keep backing away. And the crowds that were thronged around him to hear the message that Jesus was preaching straight out of Luke here. And they finally back all the way to the very back of the crowd, so far away you could barely see Jesus and you certainly couldn't hear him. And they have a whole group of Jews standing in the very back trying to listen as Jesus is giving his sermon. And of course, they're so far away, they can't hear. And so they'll say, "What did he say? What did he say?" And on top of that, they can't hear because they're so far away, but they also can't hear very well because they're arguing amongst themselves. They're not paying very close attention, which is always one of the problems that comes up during the middle of sermons, especially long sermons. Sometimes it's hard to keep your attention. Well, in the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, they finally figure out that one of the things that Jesus said was, "Blessed are the cheesemakers." Not peacemakers, cheesemakers. And one of the Jews who was standing there, obviously a highly educated one, says, "I don't think that's supposed to be taken literally, dear. It's meant as a metaphor for anyone involved in the production of dairy products." That kind of misinterpretation, however, it's starting to get a few of you on the rebound. That kind of misinterpretation, that kind of interpretation and expansion is the kind of thing that we actually have going on right here in our gospel lessons. Here in Luke, we have a bare-bones rendition, pretty clear, pretty straightforward, pretty literal, of that sermon. It's part of a body of literature that is common between Matthew and Luke, but which Matthew and Luke tended to use a little bit differently. In Luke here, in chapter 6, we have Jesus saying, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now back over in Matthew, the same message is contained in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Interesting. In Luke, it's, "Blessed are you who are poor." Not poor in spirit, not poor in soul, but poor. For yours is the kingdom of heaven. While in Matthew, he is interpreted as saying something other than just literal poorness. He is interpreted as saying Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Interesting comparison here between these two parallel passages. There are several others in here that are interesting. In Matthew, he goes on, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Over here in Luke, it reads, blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. For you will laugh. I have a friend of mine. He's a fellow United Methodist pastor in the Philadelphia Annual Conference. His name is Phil Henry. And he and I frequently chat over the internet. It's nice and it's free. Well, this past week, while I've been sick with this intestinal flu, I couldn't sit up for very long, maybe 20 minutes at a time, so I would be lying down and I'd get up and I'd go in and I'd sit down and get online and get my email and talk for a few minutes. And I caught him online on Friday. And I told him, I said, I wasn't feeling well, I was very sick and all, and I was struggling over this sermon for today from Luke's gospel about being poor and being sick. And I was stunned at how very few people in our lectionary group was going to be preaching on woes, these verses 24, 25, and 26. And his response back to me was, he couldn't talk about that right now. And he couldn't ever talk or even preach about weeping and laughing right now because his mother had just passed away. And he was not only trying to prepare a sermon for Sunday right now, but he was trying to prepare a sermon for her funeral tomorrow, Monday. Well, then he signed off before I could reply back. So I got up to go back to bed, I got my telephone calling log off the shelf and I went and lay down and dialed his number and phoned him. I haven't talked to him in voice in a long time. We've been doing it over the internet for free for so long. And I said, you shouldn't have signed off so fast. Let me know what happened. And he told me about his mother's death and how it was sudden and tragic and totally unexpected and how the family was just absolutely devastated. And he had been asked by his father to preach the funeral. And of course, there was no way he felt he could say no. I argued with him. I said, look, you don't have to preach this funeral. That's what your district superintendent is for. And he said he knew that the DS would be doing the entire service except for the sermon. And I said, you don't need to be doing that sermon. And he said, Greg, I have to do that sermon. Because if I don't do that sermon, I'm going to be crying, weeping, and in too much pain. And by preaching the sermon, I gained some control over the pain. And I said, well, Phil, you do what you need to do. But remember what we talked about in our lectionary study Monday night. That blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And he said, Greg, I will never laugh again. I ask your prayers for him today, right now, and tomorrow during his mother's funeral. I can't imagine what that is like. But I can empathize with the pain. Jesus' message here today in Luke's gospel is literal. It's straightforward. And it hits us where we are. It's not watered down or made nice and acceptable to people who have more than the people who are here. It doesn't matter how much you have or don't have, my friends. Here in the United States today, regardless of how much you have, unless you are absolutely, totally, and completely destitute and homeless and on the streets, you probably have quite a bit more than the people who were listening to Jesus here when Jesus was preaching this message. We live in a nation of great wealth today, of great substance today, and of great blindness today. Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor." And our first response to that is, well, they shouldn't be poor. Let's let the government take care of them. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is not the kingdom of this world, but the kingdom of God." The implication is that God is the one who solves this problem, them and God. And while in Matthew's gospel it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," meaning it could be those of us who are simply downtrodden emotionally, and that applies and that's applicable. Here it's literal. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. The good news for us today, even for those of us who are very rich by comparison, is that whatever we have also comes from the kingdom of God. What we have to be aware of and beware is the woe here. "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation." What do you trust in? Your riches or God? What do you trust in? What do you have your consolation in? Your riches, your things, your cars, your computers, your houses, or God? "Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled." The opposite of that, the woe connected with that is, "Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry." Who fills you up? Where do you get your sustenance, your spiritual and physical support? From whence comes all that you have, including the food on your table? If you think it comes from yourself and from your abundance, you can be full and happy, or as my mother likes to say, fat and sassy. But eventually, you will be hungry, physically and spiritually. You see, our filling comes not from the things that we eat or the things that we have. Our filling comes from God. "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." Why will you laugh? Look at the opposite. "Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep." Most people who are laughing now are laughing not because of the glory and the presence and the power and the joy that comes from God. Most of the people in the world who are laughing now are laughing because of what their riches have bought them and what the fill of their food that they have eaten, about all the good things that they have done and showered upon themselves. And so they are laughing. Jesus says, "Woe to them." But to those who are weeping now, to those who are in valleys of darkness, to those whose families look and see no way of escape, no joy, no light, no peace, those who mourn the loss of loved ones, those who struggle through sickness and infirmity, my friends, those who then turn from that situation to look to God to find joy and happiness will not be disappointed. As I said in an email to Phil last night, it may seem impossible to laugh now because of the tears that are streaming down your cheeks. Know the good news that by the power and the love of God and the grace of God in your life, no matter what you are confronting, be it your illness, your death, or the illness and death of a loved one, know this, that the love and the power of God living in the kingdom of God, which is both to come and here today, can bring happiness and joy. If you're laughing and rejoicing because of what you got now, the things that you've showered on yourself, you're going to eventually be weeping, Jesus said. But if you're mourning now and seeking the joy that comes from God, you will laugh again. When you hear these words from Jesus, don't get stuck on the literalness, and yet don't ignore the literalness either. Don't get stuck on the woes without remembering the blessings. Don't try to spiritualize them away or interpret them as Matthew did. When you're reading from Matthew, read them as Matthew accounts them. But when you're reading from Luke, allow Luke's literalness and sharpness to cut in and bring meaning to your life. Blessed are the poor. When you are poor, my friends, when you realize that of your own ability and your own substance you truly are poor, then you can be rich. Rich in the kingdom of God. When you are hungry, or as Matthew says, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, then you can truly know that your sustenance comes from God alone. And when you are weeping, when you are in despair, have faith. Because God's word says, you will laugh if you turn to Him. Give glory to God for the good news that we hear today. That we have in Christ Jesus the blessings that we need to laugh again, to be filled with the joy and the knowledge and the good things of life that God gives us, and to be rich in the kingdom of God. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.